All right, so imagine you're about to have major surgery, like a life-saving kidney transplant.
Oh, wow.
You'd want to be as informed as possible, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But what if you couldn't find out your surgeon's success rate?
Huh.
Like, that's kind of a big deal,
Okay,
right? Well,
sure.
that's exactly what's at the heart of this Michigan case,
Okay.
Wyszynski v. Cohn. It really shook things up in the legal world, especially when it comes to this idea of informed consent.
Yeah, I can see that.
So to really get into this, we dug into the court opinions, some legal analyses, even found some podcast suggestions for y'all.
Oh, wow.
We went deep.
Okay, so this whole case starts with a tragedy.
Okay.
Barbara Lisinski's son, Michael, he needed a kidney transplant,
Oh, gosh.
and his mom was a match.
Wow.
They went to William Beaumont Hospital, known for its transplant program. Dr. Stephen Cohn performed the surgery,
Okay.
but the transplant failed,
Oh, no.
and Michael passed away.
That's awful.
It is. And so Barbara filed a wrongful death suit.
Makes sense. And that's where things get really interesting. So during the trial, the jury found out that five out of Dr. Cohn's last seven transplants had failed.
Wow.
Yeah, like talk about a bombshell.
Yeah.
The jury ended up siding with Barbara, awarding her $1.5 million in damages. But then the question became, was it even right for the jury to know that information in the first place?
Well, that's where the legal battle really heats up.
Yeah.
As a patient, you'd probably want to know your surgeon's track record, right?
Well, absolutely.
But the majority opinion in this case, they disagreed.
Really?
They actually argued that a doctor's personal success rate,
Okay.
it's not a procedural risk that needs to be disclosed.
So, wait, help me understand that.
Sure.
How can they say it's not a risk?
Okay, so think of it this way.
Okay.
The risk of infection, that's just inherent to any surgery, no
Right.
matter who the surgeon is.
Okay.
But what the court's saying is a surgeon's past performance.
Right.
It's not directly tied to the specific procedure.
Okay, I'm starting to get it.
Yeah.
But, like, wouldn't you want to know if your surgeon had never successfully performed this particular type of surgery before?
Yeah.
That seems pretty relevant to me.
You're hitting on that philosophical clash here.
Okay.
The dissenting judge argued for a much more patient-centered approach.
Okay.
They said informed consent should really be about empowering patients to make decisions, decisions that align with their values and what they feel they need to know,
All
even
right.
if it's not like explicitly required by law.
So it's less about ticking boxes on a legal checklist
Yeah.
and more about actually giving patients the info they need to make an informed choice.
Exactly.
Kind of like knowing a chef's burnt a few dishes.
Okay.
Maybe it doesn't mean you avoid their restaurant altogether,
Right.
but wouldn't you at least want to know if they've got a history of setting the kitchen on fire?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, come on.
That's a great analogy.
Thanks.
It really highlights this tension between like just following the letter of the law versus actually giving patients the information they consider essential
Right.
to making a decision.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and there's more to it.
Oh,
It
really?
wasn't just about informed consent.
Okay.
The court had to figure out how to handle statistical evidence in a medical malpractice case.
Yeah, that makes
It's
sense.
like just because a surgeon has had some unsuccessful procedures
Right.
doesn't automatically mean they were negligent in this specific case.
Yeah, like a baseball player can have a bad season. That
Exactly.
doesn't mean they intentionally lost every game.
Right. So, and the court agreed.
Okay.
They used Michigan Rule of Evidence 403 to say Dr. Cohn's statistics were more prejudicial than probative.
Hold on. Break that down for me.
Okay, sure.
What does that even mean?
Okay, so imagine there's a piece of evidence presented in court. It could be super interesting, even shocking,
Right.
but if it's more likely to make the jury emotional than to actually help them figure out what happened,
Okay.
then it can't be used. That's what happened with Dr. Cohn's statistics.
Okay.
The court felt they were too likely to sway the jury
I see.
without actually proving negligence in Michael's case.
So it's all about ensuring a fair trial,
Yeah.
making sure the jury focuses on the specific facts of the case
Right.
and not getting sidetracked by potentially irrelevant information.
Exactly.
Okay, I got it.
But there's another layer to this evidence thing.
Oh, is it?
One of the judges agreed the stats weren't relevant to informed consent,
Okay.
but he brought up a really interesting point.
What's that?
He argued that Dr. Cohn's past cases, they might be relevant if the hospital itself was being accused of negligent supervision.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Why would the stats be allowed in one scenario but not the other?
It all comes down to what each side is trying to prove.
Okay.
In a negligent supervision claim. Mm-hmm. You're arguing the hospital didn't properly oversee the doctor.
Right.
Maybe they ignored warning signs about his performance.
Oh, so in that case, the doctor's track record.
Yeah.
It becomes evidence of what the hospital should have known.
Exactly.
Not necessarily proof of negligence in Michael's specific surgery.
Okay. Exactly.
It's a subtle difference, but it's crucial.
Absolutely.
And it shows how these rules around evidence can really depend on the specific legal arguments.
Mm.
Wow. This case really is a legal maze.
It is.
But let's zoom out a bit.
Yeah.
Luzinski v. Cohn didn't just affect this one case.
Right.
It had some pretty big consequences, right?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Like what?
This case set a precedent in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
It impacts how we understand informed consent.
Okay.
And even how damages are calculated in wrongful death cases.
Really?
The court cited Jenkins v. Patel.
Okay.
That case established a cap on non-economic damages.
Mm.
Things like pain and suffering.
Yeah.
Even in medical malpractice wrongful death suits.
So even if a jury awards a large amount for things like emotional distress,
yeah,
the court can reduce it based on this cap.
That's right.
Wow, that seems like a huge impact on these types of cases.
It is a big deal.
And for lawyers working on these cases in Michigan,
yeah,
Luzinski is like required reading.
Absolutely. It's a roadmap.
Okay. Walk me through that.
Sure.
What's the key takeaway for lawyers?
Focus on the risks of the procedure itself.
Okay.
When building an informed consent case.
Got it.
Don't rely on a doctor's personal statistics.
Right.
The court has said that's not admissible for this purpose.
So it's all about proving the patient wasn't told about the risks of the procedure itself.
Right.
Rather than focusing on the individual doctor's track record.
Yes.
Sounds like walking a tightrope.
It is a fine line.
And if statistical evidence does come up in other claims, like the negligent supervision example,
yeah,
lawyers need to be ready to request limiting instructions from the judge.
Absolutely.
So the jury understands how that evidence can and can't be used.
Exactly.
It's all about nuance and strategy.
For sure.
So we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
The facts of the case, the legal arguments, even the ripple effects of this Luzinski v. Cohn decision.
Yeah.
But like, what's the big takeaway?
It boils down to this.
Okay.
Luzinski shows us how courts try to balance competing interests in healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
On one hand, there's this desire for transparency.
Yeah.
Patients want all the info possible when making decisions about their care.
Absolutely.
But then on the other hand, we need to protect the healthcare system
from
being crippled by fear of litigation.
Yeah, because if doctors are always worried about getting sued,
right,
it could affect how they practice medicine.
Exactly. It's like they're constantly looking over their shoulder.
Right.
And the majority opinion in Luzinski, it seemed to prioritize protecting the system as a whole.
Okay.
They wanted to make sure judgments of negligence were based on a doctor's specific actions in that case.
Yeah.
Not their entire career history.
I get that.
Yeah.
But it still makes me wonder if there's a way to do both.
Hmm.
Like protect doctors from unfair lawsuits, but still give patients the information they need.
That's the million-dollar question.
Right.
And it's a debate that's still going on today.
Yeah, no kidding.
But what's interesting is with all the advances in technology, things like AI and healthcare analytics, that could change things completely.
Really?
Imagine a future where you could get a personalized risk assessment.
Wow.
It would factor in your medical history, your genetics, all sorts of data.
So instead of just knowing a surgeon's overall success rate,
right,
you'd get data tailored specifically to your case.
Exactly. That's wild.
It is pretty incredible.
But it also brings up a ton of new questions.
Oh, yeah.
Like, would that data be more reliable?
Mm-hmm.
Less likely to unfairly influence a jury?
Good point.
Would it help patients make better choices or just create more confusion and anxiety?
So many things to think about.
It really is.
But it's amazing how a case decided years ago, like Luzinski, can still be so relevant today.
Totally. It's like this case forces us to think about patient rights, medical ethics, how technology is changing everything.
It's a big deal. These are conversations we need to have as a society.
Absolutely.
Well said.
Thanks.
And to our listeners out there, we encourage you to dive deeper into this case.
Yeah, read the full opinion.
Explore these ethical discussions around informed consent.
For sure.
And think about how these issues might shape the future
of medicine and the law.
Informed consent isn't just about legal boxes to check.
Right.
It's about empowering people to make the right choices for them.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.